From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called One a Majority. The text is Joshua 23 and verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Why count heads? One man with God is a majority, though there be 1,000 on the other side. Sometimes our helpers may be too many for God to work with them, as was the case with Gideon, who could do nothing till he had increased his forces by thinning out their numbers. But the Lord's hosts are never too few. When God would found a nation, he called Abram alone and blessed him. When he would vanquish proud Pharaoh, he used no armies, but only Moses and Aaron. The one-man ministry, as certain wise men call it, has been far more used of the Lord than trained bands with their officers. Did all the Israelites together slay so many as Samson alone? Saul and his hosts slew their thousands, but David his 10,000s. The Lord can give the enemy long odds and yet vanquish him. If we have faith, we have God with us. And what are multitudes of men? One shepherd's dog can drive before him a great flock of sheep. If the Lord sent thee, O my brother, His strength will accomplish His divine purpose. Wherefore, rely on the promise and be very courageous.
Men of God, arise, let us praise the King together. Men of God, arise, let us praise His holy name. For His wondrous power within, for His power to cleanse from sin, for His power to take a life and make it whole again. We are called to spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We've a story to give to our nation, to bring them the message of salvation. We'll work and watch and fight and pray. Oh, men of God, arise.
Men of God, arise, for He comes to claim His children. Men of God, arise, for He cometh in the sky. We know not the day or hour that He'll come in glorious power. We must go and spread the news that He will come again. We are called to spread the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled.
sets men free. Men of God, arise and proclaim liberty. Oh, men of God, arise.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment. Paul emphasizes that God will never deviate from his own standard. The righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. God is righteous of necessity, so his judgment will be according to the absolute rightness of his being and not by any standard of man. Also, God's judgment will reflect his goodness. Then God's righteous judgment will reveal the state of all who come before him. There will be no hiding behind a refuge of lies. This judgment will demonstrate men's true standing before God's law. And finally, God's judgment will require the execution of the sentence of his law and of his gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, the standard of God's righteous judgment.
What was true of the temporal judgments that God executed through Israel is true of the final judgment that he will execute in person. Psalm 149 verse 9 tells me, he will execute upon them, notice the phrase, the judgment written. But what is the judgment written? The word of God leaves us in no doubt. Ezekiel tells us in 18 verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Paul tells us in Romans 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Mark 16 verse 16 tells us, he that believeth not shall be damned. Breakers of God's law are condemned. God comes along to condemn sinners with the offer of mercy. And he presents to them the beauties of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the complete pardon and the perfect righteousness and the total acceptance that are all in Christ. He offers Christ freely in the gospel. But to all who reject him and all who do not believe in him, the word is, he that believeth not shall be damned. I would to God that God would let that word reverberate in the conscience of every one of you who knows not Christ. He that believeth not shall be damned. Many years ago, a Christian was traveling in England. The railway carriage, a man got into the carriage, they began to talk. Christian was just a new Christian, and so he was bubbling over with the joy of the Lord. Knew very little scripture, but he knew he was saved. And he told this other fellow about it. And he said, I don't believe that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. The young Christian knew nothing except he could remember Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't believe that either. Well, he that believeth not shall be damned. But I treat it all as a fairy tale. He that believeth not shall be damned. Turning away, the unbeliever said, you're just a fool. At the end of a long train journey, he went to his home. If you haven't traveled a long time by train, this may not resonate with you as it will with others who have done so. He laid his head upon the pillow. As he was trying to drop off to sleep, he could still hear those great metal wheels as they came to every break in the track. That noise that only a train could make, he listened. And with every turn of the piston, he heard the words, he that believeth not shall be damned. As he drifted off to sleep, it was still the same, he that believeth not shall be damned. He wakened up with a start, he that believeth not shall be damned. Till finally he jumped out of his bed and he got on his knees and he cried, my God, I believe, have mercy on a sinner like me. Oh, that tonight God would write it on every heart. This is the judgment written. This is the judgment decreed written with the pen of iron, written with the hand of God, written in the indelible ink of God's everlasting purpose. He that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible calls this the second death, calls it everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Banishment to a place that our Savior described as the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is the solemn truth. A righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. It will reveal the state of the judged. And it will require the execution of the sentence of the law and the warning of the gospel. This is God's truth. And thus, in Romans 2, Paul is pleading as a Jew to another Jew. I plead tonight as a sinner to other sinners. Will you ignore such a truth? Will you travel blithely onward toward your meeting with your God with nothing more than a hypocritical religion and a self-righteous profession to lean upon? As Paul cries here, will you despise the overtures of mercy? Will you despise the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Will you despise that goodness which leads you to repentance? Or what an or it is. Will you treasure up wrath against the day of judgment? People lay up treasure in preparation for their old age. Everywhere I turn, I have listened to people talking about their IRAs, about their savings, about their investments, about their insurance, about their treasured preparation for old age. How much more should we lay up treasure to prepare for eternity? But listen, the only treasure that rejecters of Christ and breakers of God's law, the only treasure that sinners, religious as well as irreligious, lay up, as Paul says, is wrath against the day of wrath. And write the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The judgment of God is righteous. God will never deviate from that perfect standard. God in that day is going to require absolute, perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness. Anything else will lead to hell. But listen to me. This is the very righteousness that God provides in Christ. This is the very righteousness which Paul calls the gift of righteousness. It's in Christ. He told the Corinthians, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Jeremiah looked forward to our Redeemer and he termed him Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah the Lord, our righteousness. If you have Christ, you have a perfect righteousness. If you don't, you have no righteousness at all. The gospel offers the free gift of the perfect righteousness of Christ, the pardon for all your sin, the investiture of your soul with the righteousness of Christ, so that you stand before God as righteous as He and as acceptable as the Lord Jesus Himself. That's the gift freely offered. Let me ask you what Paul asked in this chapter. Will you despise this goodness? Will you despise it? Or will you receive it? On your response to that question depends your whole eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal God, holy and righteous and perfect, we come to Thee tonight realizing that by nature and by practice and by choice, we are sinners condemned by our sin, condemned by Thy law, and fit fuel only for the wrath of God. In such a state, O God, we could not contemplate meeting the righteous judge for a judgment according to His absolute righteousness. We could not contemplate it with anything but deep foreboding and terror. But our God, we thank Thee for the goodness of God that has provided in Christ a perfect Savior and a perfect salvation. We rejoice this evening that Christ has provided by His perfect obedience unto death a righteousness for all His people. We thank Thee, our God, for the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to all who believe in Him. We thank Thee that God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness would be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our God, we bless Thee for the free offer and gift of righteousness in Christ. We thank Thee for all sinners in this meeting tonight who have received the gift, who by faith in Christ have passed from death unto life, from condemnation into justification, from alienation into acceptance. Our God, we thank Thee for those who tonight can face meeting God, not with terror, but with anticipation, knowing that they will meet Thee in Christ. What a day that will be when we see Him whom having not seen we love, when we see Him whose righteousness gives us fitness for heaven. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy people tonight, but search out those who know not Christ. O God, we pray, search out those who have been using religious profession as a cloak of maliciousness, wickedness, selfishness, and ungodliness. God, have mercy on poor, blinded sinners tonight. Oh, we pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. We thank thee there's a welcome at the cross for every sinner who comes. Oh, we pray, draw the lost to the cross tonight and give them the gift of faith unto salvation. God and Father, give grace to trust Christ freely offered in the gospel. Now part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. May this solemn word of God live on in our consciousness. May we never forget it. Give fruit for the preaching of the word. Grant that the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.